Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Just crumble at my feet when my life seems tattered, sometimes torn. Although I feel windswept, sometimes battered, but I found that if I just cling to the cross, I have him right now. He is the peace giver. He is the peace giver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, you know when your help shows up, right? Way, 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 way back. Little African-American preacher. Somebody asked him, pastor or bishop, whatever. What is the anointing? He thought about it. He said, I don't know what it is exactly, but I sure know when it ain't. And that's the truth. I've been a few places where it ain't. And I was ready to go. I remember I was asked one time, this young man, his father was a pastor of a church. His father died, and the young man inherited the church. And I'd known him, and he asked me if I'd come to the service where they were going to install him as pastor. And so I went to the service, and I'm sitting on the platform, and I'm kind of facing this way, and there was a door out, kind of like that, out the back. And I'm sitting there, and they went through praise and worship, and I mean, it was just dead. Just dead, dead, dead. And this was a Pentecostal church. I mean, it was dead. And the people got up screaming and shouting, and I'll be honest with you, there was no anointing to it. The Lord was not there. It was just all hype. And they went on like this for over an hour before they ever got to anything. And I just sat there and endured it. And I mean, when you're sitting on the platform and this stuff is going on, it's very uncomfortable. Because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to look spiritual, you know. And this went on, and this one little fellow, he'd run back and forth across the front, and he had a tambourine. He'd beat that tambourine. I mean, I never saw anybody play a tambourine like that. And just as dead, no anointing. And then every once in a while, he'd stop playing and stand there and go, hey, 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 just shout. It sounded like a dog barking. And just dead. Holy Ghost was not there. He just wasn't there. And I sat there, and they went through all this stuff. And finally, the Lord spoke to me. I had to turn and look because it was almost like somebody standing right here beside me. He said, well, I'm leaving. You gonna go with me, or you gonna stay here by yourself? The Holy Ghost. And I said out loud, well, you're not leaving me here by myself. And the pastor looked over at me, and I kind of pointed at my watch, you know, like, oh, you know, I've got to go. And he said, okay, brother. And I got up, and I slipped out that door and got in my car and burn rubber getting down the street, get away from there as fast as I could. You know, you don't want to be in a place where people are putting it on. Right. Hallelujah. You want to be in a place where people worship in spirit and in truth. Because when you combine, what I was going to talk about, but somehow or another the Lord's going to weave it in there.
That's right.
When you combine spirit and truth, you'll have some anointing. I've never said those words before in my life. Wow. When you combine spirit and truth, the anointing will show up.
Okay. That's good.
Right. Hallelujah. See, we've gotten up into a realm of the Spirit just through our worship and stuff here. And so when you get up in a certain level, that's when revelation begins to flow. Hallelujah. Wow. I want to look this morning at the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. I think they got it for me. There we go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are, not might be, not maybe be, not we hope they are, As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to look at this in a couple of other translations here. Amplified. I like the Amplified. I used to get tickled, Brother Morris Cirillo. Anybody remember Morris Cirillo? Yeah. He'd get up and preach, and he was so intense. I want to look at this. Out of the original, he'd always say it, out of the original language, and it was the Amplified Bible every time. I said, Morris, you stinker. For all who are led by the Spirit of God. All. Somebody say all.
All.
All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Yeah.
Verse 16. The Spirit Himself thus testifies. Get this. Testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. Hallelujah. New Living Translation. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
Yes.
Verse 16. For His Spirit, I love this, joins with our spirit.
There we go.
Joins with our spirit. That means He comes down here and joins with our spirit.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Amen. To affirm that we are God's children. Glory to God. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus is teaching the disciples about the Holy Spirit that's going to come after He goes away. And He's giving them instructions how to receive Him, how to respond to Him. If you ever look at John 14, 15, 16, those chapters, and read it in this way. The head of the church, Jesus, the head of the church, is telling you how to respond to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who will be the power of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when He comes into the church, He is the manifested power of God in the church. The church can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. You got folks today think they can. They think they can use politics and legislate and use judges and all this stuff and try to do the work of the church. You can never do the work of the church without the Holy Ghost. You need to understand that. The work of the church is designed to be done with the assistance of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said, the Helper, one called alongside you to help you. You can't do it without Him. You may as well not even try. Because you'll end up in the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not judicial. They're not legislative. They're not executive. They're not political. Those are not the weapons of our warfare. They are not, those are carnal weapons. And if you try to fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons, you're going to lose every time.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John 16, verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears of the Father and of Jesus, He will speak. Hallelujah. He will guide you. One translation says He will lead you. Those who are led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You seeing the connection?
Yeah.
There's one more. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit, you, the real you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, a light, searching all the innermost parts of His being. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You lead us and You guide us. We thank You for utterance this morning. We thank You that we're on the right track. We know we're on the right track because You've borne witness to it already. I thank You, Lord, that we are led by the Spirit. led in everything we do, led in our praying, led in our preaching, led in our worship, led in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending us the helper to come alongside and help us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to you in this moment. We yield ourselves to you in this moment. We thank you for your presence here in this place. Hallelujah. Being led by the Spirit of God. Everyone who is a son or a daughter, the children of God, they will be led by the Spirit of God. And then it says that the Spirit himself bears witness with, joins together with our spirit. He bears witness. There's a number of ways that the Lord can lead you by His Spirit. Some are spectacular. And we have a tendency, because we're carnal, come on, to look at somebody next to you and say, I have to admit it, I tend to be carnal. And we got that out of the way. Now we can get some healing and some deliverance in here. Amen. I mean, we all like exciting things, you know. And, that's why people go to air shows and they go to the car races and they go to the football games and they like exciting things. And so we're human. We like exciting things. And so we like spectacular stuff. But the problem is, if we always expect God to lead us in a spectacular way, then we miss it. Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, Dad Hagin we called him, he used to say, people will run after the spectacular and completely miss the supernatural. Because that witness, when the Holy Spirit comes in and joins himself with your spirit and bears witness, that is just as supernatural as when I was sitting on that platform and heard the audible voice of God saying, I'm going to leave. You're going to stay here by yourself. You're going to come with me. Amen. Led by the Spirit. Now, if you can train yourself to learn to be led by that inner witness, you can say, you know, you're going to do something, and you say, Lord, should I do this or not? And it just seems like you have a green light down on the inside. Your spirit, the real you. See, this is not the real you, this stuff out here. This is just a house, a temporary thing. The real you is a spirit. God is a spirit, the Bible says. And you're created in the image of God, which means you are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, an intellect, emotions. And you live in a body. And if you will become God inside minded, if you will become more attentive to the spirit you than the outside you, you'll begin to understand and be led more by the Spirit. And one in the Bible says, God said, I'll guide you with my eye. I mean, here I got money in my pocket, and God just looks over here at Gary. And I immediately, because I know the Father, I'm in communion, I immediately know God wants me to give him some money. He doesn't really, but I'm just using that as an example right now. Because God's smart, he knows I don't have my wallet on me. I know not to have my wallet on me around Gary over here. You know, fingers, Wallace. You got to watch him. But he'll look at and you'll know his intent. He'll guide you with his eye. That's that inward witness, that inward knowing. God leads you. And then somebody says, oh, I want you to come with me, go do this, that, and the other. And something inside, it's like a red light. You go, no, I shouldn't do that. And so you don't go there. Because every time I've violated that red light, every time I've run that red light, I always wish I hadn't, because the constable, Holy Ghost, shows up later to give me a ticket, you know. Have to learn to be led. And when you are led that way, then you're more sensitive when more spectacular things happen.
Yeah.
Things that are more out of the ordinary will happen. And here's the thing. This is something in the church. we're losing to a great extent. We've lost, and I pray to God we can get it back. I'm going to be one telling it so that, you know, trying to get it back. But we have lost to a great extent the ability to be led by the Spirit of God in the church. Now, I've done it, and it's a good thing. You know, Facebook is a great tool. You know, you can abuse it. People can abuse it. But it has become a great tool, especially for prayer chains. And you put a prayer request on there, and I mean, within minutes, you can have 100 people around the world praying and agreeing with you. I mean, that's a blessing. And I'll look on there and somebody will say, I need you to pray for this, and so I'll pray for it. But we can't let that take the place of me going along in my daily life, communing with the Lord, and the Lord says, you need to pray for them. And bring them up in my spirit, and I begin to pray for them. If I start waiting until I get the prayer request on Facebook, then I'm not being led by the Spirit. Facebook is good. Social media is good to get the information, and we can pray. Somebody says that, oh, yeah, we'll pray. But how much better if we're led by the Spirit? Led by the Spirit. Just here a week or so ago, there is a pastor, a lady, and she was recently widowed. Well, a couple of years ago, widowed. Her husband died very young. And I really don't go around thinking about her all the time. I mean, I just don't, you know, and we've been friends for many years. And all of a sudden, I woke up in the morning, and she came up in my spirit, and I began to pray, and the Lord gave me a word for her. And so I wrote it all out, and I sent it to her in a message. And I mean, almost immediately, she wrote back. She says, I can't hardly read this because I got so many tears coming out of my eyes. And the word had to do with people are trying, they're pushing you, trying to get you, oh, you got to move on, you got to do this, you got to do that, and all this stuff. And she wasn't ready. You know, somehow people think they know you better than you know you. Doesn't that aggravate you when that, you know, and they just push. And the Lord addressed all that. I didn't know things are going on. And it said to her that there's going to be a change of scenery. Your things you're looking at now, you're not going to be looking at here in just a few weeks. And I didn't know the things that were going on. She hadn't told me. Nobody told me. And she wrote back and she said, I'm just now feeling like I'm ready for a change. She says, the house that we built 25 years ago that we put, she said, I'm putting it on the market this week. Going to change your scenery. Going to change what you look. All of just confirm. She called Joan Cavanaugh up and she told Joan, she said, look at this word that Danny Plowman sent me. She said, it just, now I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but I'm talking about being led. I didn't have an audible voice telling me, oh, tell her this. It was just an inward knowing to do it. Now, sometimes God gets specific with stuff. I remember a story told to me about a preacher in Dallas around 1918, 1920, somewhere around in there. This is back before, really, a lot of people didn't even have telephone back then. And some didn't even have electricity or indoor plumbing back then. And so he woke up one morning and the Lord spoke to him and said, I have a servant, a pastor, in St. Louis, Missouri, that's dying of cancer. Get a train ticket and go to St. Louis and raise him up. I'm not done with him yet. Well, he didn't know who the pastor was. He didn't have his name. Nothing. But see, he didn't have social media to rely on. Didn't have telephone to rely on. He had to rely on the Holy Ghost. And so he was obedient. He got up, told his wife, I got to run to St. Louis. See you later. And she's like, okay. And he walked down to the train station, got him a train ticket, and went to St. Louis. Well, this took hours. Hours. Changing trains. Doing all this stuff. Got to St. Louis, got off the train, walked outside the station, and God said, start walking. He said, which way? Said, straight ahead. So he started walking straight ahead. Well, he walked several blocks, and God said, turn right. So he turned right. He walked several more blocks, and God said, turn left. He turned left. He walked up, and then he saw this house. He said, the house looked like it was lit up like a neon sign in the dark. God said, that's it right there. And he walked up, knocked on the door, and he said, I'm a pastor from Dallas. Is there a pastor here that's dying of cancer? The pastor's wife said, he sure is. Come right on in. He walked in. She took him back. He didn't even lay hands on him. He stood at the foot. Didn't even ask him. He didn't even tell him his name. Didn't even ask for that man's name. He stood at the foot of the bed and said, "The Lord Jesus sent me. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus." The guy said, "All right." And he pulled the covers off, got out of bed, and stood up completely healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit. Phew. My grandmother, my father's mother, Grandma Plowman, I never had the pleasure of meeting her. She passed before I was born. But boy, she was a preacher, and she was powerful. And she would pray. Oh, my goodness, she would pray. I had a ministry of intercessory prayer. And early, 1 or 2 in the morning, on June the 4th, 1942, Spirit of God woke her up. She just rolled off this bed onto the floor in the fetal position, but face down, just on her knees, face to the floor. She began to pray in tongues and then began to groan and travail in the Spirit. And then she slipped off into what you could call a trance-like state. And that scriptural, Peter was in a trance on the housetop when the Lord let down the sheet and said, "Rise, kill me." He was in a trance. That means your physical animation is suspended. And it's Bible. And she was there almost 24 hours. She lay there in that position, never moved. She prayed. She'd groan and travail a while. And they didn't know if she was okay or not. But then she'd start praying in tongues. Pray in tongues for an hour or two. So they said, "Well, she must be okay. She sounds very strong." And then she'd go back to groaning and travailing. Never moved. Didn't get a water break. Didn't take a bathroom break. Nothing. Never moved. Almost 24 hours. My Aunt Joy Dunlap, you might remember her from Truth Church years ago. Her husband, now they were just in their early 20s. Her husband was in the U.S. Navy, been drafted into the Navy for World War II. And he was on a ship, the USS Yorktown. And he was over in the South Pacific. And she didn't know, because they didn't have, instant communication then like they do now. Didn't know for weeks what had happened, but they wrote it down. My Aunt Joy was there, saw her mama in the floor, saw her nearly 24 hours in a trance-like state praying and praying and praying. What they didn't know was that the moment she rolled out of the bed and hit her face on the floor, the Japanese began to bomb the USS Yorktown at the Battle of Midway Island. And my uncle, we call him Uncle Buddy. His name was Grady, but he was always Uncle Buddy. Joy's husband, young husband, hadn't been married but just a few months. And he was in charge of bringing ammunition up to the guns mounted on the decks of the ship. And Yorktown was the big aircraft carrier out there. And he was in charge of providing ammunition to the guns on the deck and the anti-aircraft guns. And so he was sent down within moments of her hitting her face and praying, he was sent down to get more ammo. And the ammo reserve or whatever the storage was directly underneath that gun on the deck of that ship. And he went down there and he was getting the ammo. And he said later, he said an admiral walked into that storage room where he was getting that ammo. He said that was the tallest man he'd ever seen. He said he never saw a U.S. admiral with so many decorations and medals on him in his life. He said that man just had medals and decorations everywhere. And he said, "Dunlap," he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You get down to another place on the other end of the ship, and you do it on the double, on the double." And he said, "Yes, sir." And he ran out of that ammo storage place and ran down the other end of the ship. By the time he got halfway down the ship, they dropped a bomb right on top of that gun on the deck. And there's pictures of it that they took from the aircraft. It blew a hole in the top of that deck as big as one of our big SUVs that we have today. Because when it blew all that ammo that was underneath it there. And if Buddy had stayed in there, he would have been incinerated instantly. And he said, that big old admiral, he said, "I never saw anybody so decorated." Well, it was an angel of God. And he was impressive. He had war medals. Phew. And he got down there. Well, that they bombed that ship. It began to list to one side. And so they sounded abandoned ship. And so they all put on their Mae West. That's the life jacket, you understand? Because Mae West, all actress, all of her flotation was in the front. You understand? Okay, anyway. So they all called it a Mae West. Come on now, stay in the spirit. And so They called it, that's what they called it, was a May West. And so they put those life jackets on. And so they all had to abandon ship into shark-infested waters. But Grandma's still praying, glory to God. And so she's on her face in a trance-like state praying. And they're out there treading water with sharks swimming all around them. And so they said in that battle, the Japanese lost over 3,000 people and the U.S. only lost about 300. That's pretty good odds right there. But Grandma's praying. And so then they pulled Buddy and all his friends. They finally got the rescue boats in there and pulled them all out of the water. And when he got out of the water, Grandma began to laugh. Glory to God. And to sing and to shout. And she got up off the floor and began to walk around the house singing and laughing and shouting, because the Bible says when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, we were like those that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Grandma had the victory and she knew she had it and began to laugh and to sing, and found out weeks later she had prayed Buddy through the battle for Midway Island. Glory to God. Led by the Spirit. He'll lead you in prayer. He'll lead you in prayer. Hallelujah. Lead you. We've got to get back to being led by the Spirit and not depend on these other things. Brother Hagin also used to tell us, he said, anything in the natural that you start using as a crutch, he said, you will lose the use of what you should have in the Spirit. So if I'm depending on Facebook for my prayers, then I will lose being led by the Spirit in prayer. We see this all the time. People, they substitute things in churches. I mean, you hear the old time. See, I'm unique. Somebody pointed out to me the other day where I came from and how I was raised up in ministry, because I was exposed to these old-timers, these pioneers that were from as far back as 1906, and that were the pioneers of the Pentecostal, apostolic, the Spirit-filled, you know, charismatic, whatever you want to call it, movement. And I was exposed to all of them. And then I was exposed to people in what today they call the prophetic movement. So I've got, you know, knowledge and you know, associations with some of them. And then also over from what they call the faith movement. Kenneth E. Hagin, he was basically the founder of the faith movement. And he was my daddy in the faith. Sat at his feet for years. And so I had all this put into my life, all this input coming in. And so I try to bridge the gaps between them, because sometimes they're bridged far apart from one another. And so, but the old timers, I keep going back to them because they were so dependent on the Spirit and not on things out here. Brother Hagin, to the day he died, he'd never use an alarm clock. He said he wouldn't let it be a crutch. He said he'd tell his spirit, I need to be up by 6 in the morning. He said he'd wake up right before it. I did that for years as a teenager growing up in church. I'd say, well, I need to get up in the morning. And I'd set the alarm, but I'd beat it by 5 minutes every time. I'd travel somewhere else in the world, be a time change. You'd think I'd be jet lagged. And I'd say, well, I need to be up at this certain time. And I'd fall asleep and wake up right on time. How do you do that? You're being led by the Spirit. You're not depending on the alarm clock or the alarm on the phone. Or, you know, and so I kept doing it. And then I heard Brother Hagin say, he tells his spirit. Spirit never sleeps. And your spirit will wake you up. Hallelujah. Churches today, lights are great. We love lights and all this. But you go to some churches and they go to worship and boy, they turn out all the lights. It's like going to Babes to eat fried chicken down here. You walk in there, there's not any lights. Dude, that'd be good today, wouldn't it? And so you go in there. I went in with one of the Babes one time. I like the Babes. And so I went in one time, and it was over in Arlington. They had it so dark in there, I was bumping into stuff. I nearly got hurt. And I had some old people with me. I said, you know, these old people are going to get hurt bumping into this stuff. Turn the lights up. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, you like it dark in here? What's the matter with you people? Like, you know, the devil likes darkness. What's the matter with you people? They go to some churches, they turn out all the lights, and they start blasting you in the face with all these flashing lights and everything. And you're just, wow, 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 and you're supposed to worship through all of that. And then all of a sudden, you just when you get used to that, smoke starts coming out of the back of the platform. Here it comes, you know. And all this, that we've talked about little sister Parham before, because I brought her out to when you're out on the missile base out there. And she was born in 1906. Her father-in-law was the man that started the whole apostolic Pentecostal movement, Charles Parham. And she grew up in it from almost the beginning. In fact, she was born the year that the Azusa revival started. And so I was sitting in a service with her one time, worship service, and she was about 87 years old at the time. And she said, little bitty thing, had a gruff voice because she had preached for nearly 70 years. And so I'm sitting there next to her, and they smoke started coming out from behind the stage, and we're just sitting there watching it, and she elbowed me. I leaned over, and she's anybody younger than 80, she called kid. And so she said, kid, in my day, if you saw a fog in church, it was the real deal. I said, I want the real deal.
Amen.
The real deal. And I've seen it. I've seen it here in this church before. A couple of years ago, I walked in here, and it was already coming in. You could reach up into it. It was right up in here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it wasn't anybody back there. You know, Cherry wasn't back there with his fog machine, fanning it to the front, you know. The real deal. I'll never forget one time with James Meredith there in Fort Worth. It was a prayer meeting night at the church. And Brother Reeves, Jack Reeves, was one of their elders in the church. And he had had a massive heart attack, and they did heart surgery on him. But he was in a coma. Doctors said, we really don't expect him to come out of it. His poor little wife was sitting up there, and they asked the church to pray. And so we were just all scattered around the auditorium praying, and they had communion table set up here just to, as you led, you know, couples or families, whatever, individuals, you wanted to come up and take communion, you could. Well, I was praying all the way in that back corner back over there, and I got up to go take communion. As I started to walk toward the front, a fog rolled in, just glistening white fog began to roll in. And by the time I got up here to the communion table, I couldn't see anything but the communion table and me. Everything else all around me was completely enveloped in the fog. I couldn't see any. I'm telling you, open vision. I couldn't see anything. And so I took the communion, and I turned around, and when I did, I had the laughter hit me. And I knew Brother Reeves is going to be all right. He's going to be all right. And that fog began to lift, and Brother Meredith got up and started walking toward me. I looked at James, and I said, Brother Reeves is going to live and not die. And he grabbed his belly and started laughing. He said, I know that. I know that. I said, yeah, we stood there and laughed at each other. I know that. Yeah, about that time, Carol Ann, Sister Meredith, she came running in the back and said, Sister Reeves just called. He just woke up. He just woke up. Led by the Spirit. And seeing the glory, Clyde. What we miss when we substitute. What we miss when we substitute. Oh, my goodness. I want the real deal.
Yeah.
I want the real deal.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was preaching here, and we had some guests, and I talked about her. That older lady was here. Her daddy was a pastor, was friends with Brother Hagin, and he had pioneered churches all over Texas and Oklahoma. And they had taken a church down in Beaumont years ago. This had been 1930s, 1940s, down in Beaumont. And he's up preaching, and they said, boy, Daddy was preaching that day. So he was just, they said, Daddy was on fire, but we weren't kidding. They said, all of a sudden, the fire department burst in the back door, and the men came in with their axes and everything, and they said, where's the fire? And they said, what? Where's the fire? Said, you need to get out. The church is on fire. They said, the church is not on fire. And they couldn't smell any smoke. Nothing like that. They said, well, a neighbor down the street called, and they said they saw the church, flames coming off the top of the church building. So they called the fire department. They said, we came down the street. We looked, we saw the church. We saw flames coming. Glory to God. We saw flames coming off the top of the church building. And they ran and said, where's the fire? And Sister Boatwright pointed, she said, pointed at her husband. She said, there's the fire right there. Well, glory to God. Got a bunch of firemen saved that day. Hallelujah. Phew. You think about it. We're trying to do stuff without what they used in the New Testament. I mean, you think about the birthday of the church when they're sitting there in that house and all of a sudden they hear that rushing mighty wind come in. And, you know, and filled all the house. Then it says, and tongues like fire came and sat on each of them. I mean, you think, boy, we'd have that around here today. We'd have people lined up down the street trying to get in here. People said, we know that church. Those people walked out the door and all of them had fire coming off their head like that right there. That's a revival, let me tell you. Can you imagine them sitting in there, Peter and James and John and Mary and all them, Mary Magdalene and all them sitting in there, and Peter's over there talking in tongues, and James said, what are you saying, Peter? And Peter looks at him and says, I don't know, brother, but your head's on fire.
That's right.
We need that. We need it. It didn't pass away.
No.
It's still available to the church.
Yeah.
We need that. We need the leading of the Spirit to lead us, lead us, lead us. And when we're led by the Spirit, miraculous things happen. I remember in, oh gosh, when was this? 1996. And I had just finished Rhema Bible College. And I was standing in the bathroom. I was combing my hair. And the Lord spoke to me. It was audible to me. It was like somebody standing right behind my shoulder here. That'll make you jump sometime when the Lord says something to you, especially if you're driving down the road and you didn't know anybody was in the back seat. And like, Regal can talk, you know, my dog. You know. So the Lord said, I had not even thought about it. And the Lord said, miracles await you in Romania. What? Said it again. Miracles await you in Romania. That was it. Well, I'm not dumb, you know. So I said, well, I perceive God wants me to go to Romania. That's pretty easy to figure out. So I began to make the plans to go. And got everything together. Got the airfare. Got it lined up. Christ for the Nations had a couple of schools over there. So I linked up with them and ended up, I met Sister Lindsay in Germany, and she had a group with her, because there's a German Bible school, Christ for the Nations, over there that Hitler built for us. That's the truth. Sister Lindsay always said that. Great big building. Used to be hidden up in the mountains. Huge, huge building. It's the length of 3 football fields. Big, big building. It's like 5 stories tall, kind of a C-shaped building with a huge courtyard, and that was a secret training headquarters for Hitler's SS, special forces of the SS, and that's where they train them. In fact, if you walk in the door, the plaque is still on the wall. It's a granite building, huge building, and the plaque is still there. I mean, it's so deep you can't chisel it out. They decided they didn't want to, because it's a testimony of God's victory. And it says, you know, on this day in 1938, something like that, this building was dedicated by Der Führer Adolf Hitler, and I mean, it's all right there in granite in German, right there on the wall. And now it's a training center. They've already sent out thousands of missionaries, not only in Europe but around the world, out of that school there that Hitler built for them.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the training grounds where the SS used to march in formation, and I stood up on the balcony that Hitler stood on when he looked at them for the dedication of the building, and the SS troops marched in formation with all their color guards and stuff. And now they've got dormitories built out there. The girls' dormitories are out there where the SS used to march and show off. Hallelujah. See, when God gets the victory, he really mashes it in, doesn't he? Hallelujah. So I got to Romania. And the Lord told me on my way over, he said, now when you go, he said, you tell them 3 things. You tell them you heard my voice audibly to go. You tell them that the Spirit of God is present to heal right then. And you tell them, well, you tell them that if they'll believe it, they'll be healed today. And when the Lord told me that, both of my hands began to burn with the anointing. And as a matter of fact, they're doing it now. And after that, every time I would start meetings, I hadn't talked about it in years now at this point. But every time I did, even after I came back home and I'd tell this about this, my hands would start to burn. They're doing it again. And so he said, you tell them you heard my voice. You tell them the Spirit of God is present to heal you. Tell them if they'll believe it, they'll receive their healing today. And I mean, we saw miracles in Romania. I mean, just amazing things happen. And people, I remember one fellow that stood out in my mind. He was about sitting about three people into this pew in this old church. And there's hundreds and hundreds of people there. And I looked back at him, and the Spirit of God came, and I said, brother, you're an alcoholic, but God's delivering you right now. That old man jumped over those old women in that pew. I mean, jumped over them into the aisle and began to dance and shout, and then, boom, just killed over out there in the aisle and was instantly delivered from alcoholism. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle, being led by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God. And then more recent time, back last April, about a year ago, actually, not quite a year ago, and I heard that audible, those voices in my room, you all know about it, and I woke up and all these sound like six or seven men saying, come to Suriname, bring us a prophetic word, come to Suriname, bring us a prophetic word, over and over and over for about 10, 15 seconds. I didn't even know where Suriname was. And so I went, and within 36 hours, God provided everything, all the money, the connection. I mean, and there was nobody from Christ for the Nations, nobody from Rhema there, didn't know a soul. God provided everything I needed in 36 hours. I'm ready to go. We're still April, May, June, July, August, still nearly 4 months away, and everything's ready to go in 36 hours. And so I told them, they were booking me up with these churches, and they said, how much do you need? I said, tell them I don't need anything. I don't need a thing. And they said, nothing? I said, nothing. I said, my flight is paid for, my hotel is paid for, my food is paid for. Everything's paid for. I'm coming to be a blessing and bring the word of the Lord. Well, they couldn't believe that. Nobody, especially from the United States, you understand. And nobody ever come in like that before asking nothing. I said, it's done. God did it. Being led by the Spirit, see. Led by the Spirit. Told you how they nearly didn't let me on my flight. God wanted me down there. Sent the Consul General of Suriname himself into that airport and said, you put him on that flight. He gave me what I needed, which should have taken 2 weeks to get. Gave it to me instantly, standing right there next to me at the counter. God sent him. Come to find out, he's a tongue-talking, Spirit-filled man, too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Got down there, said, the president of the country wants to meet you. The president of the country wants to meet you. I'm like, really? They told me right before I went, when I went and got a new blue suit to go down there. This suit here, part of it anyway. I didn't wear jeans to meet the president, but he may not have cared. But anyway, I did wear boots. That's proof you're from Texas, you understand? So, met the president. He's a Hindu. And then his cabinet member introduced me, Mr. President, this is Daniel Plowman. He's a prophet from Texas. The prophet said, took me by both with both his hands, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, we really want to know what God is saying. And he was serious. I said, all right, we're going to tell you best we can. And ministered to him, prayed with him, spoke to him some things. He went, well. He said, how do you know that? I said, I'm not, the Lord just said. He said, that's classified information. So I didn't get it out of any bathroom or anything. Hallelujah. The Lord, led by the Spirit of God. Miracles down there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to Kenya in August this year. I'm going to speak to a few thousand bishops and pastors over there. It's going to be glorious. I know it will be. Led by the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Amen. I'm a child of God. How about you? We can be led. He'll lead us. And when he leads us into all truth. And when the Spirit and the truth come together, the anointing will show up to do what needs to be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, my hands are still burning pretty warm right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for healing power. Thank you for healing power.
Thanks.
Speeds us along. In the name of Jesus, no more pain. We thank you for the return of all mobility, even more than he had before. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
We do agree to you. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sukabaranisha Makalaresa. Nanamiotia. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing power. Now I thank you for health from the top of Anne's head to the soles of her feet. Healing power breaks the bond of disease and infirmity. Breaks the powers of darkness that brought it. And undoes what Satan did. Reverse it now. In Jesus' name. As her days are, so shall her strength be. In Jesus' name. Revitalize her. Re-energize her. Refresh her. Renew her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sweetheart, just take me by the hand right there. Father, I thank you for healing power going into her body right now. There it is. Oh, yes. She'll not be the same after today. The strength and the energy shall come back. Renew her youth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I give you praise. Give you praise. I give you praise. What are you doing, Brother Daniel? I'm being led. I'm being led. I'm being led. Lift your hands up and just say, I'm being led. See, you need to confess these things. When you get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, that I am led by the Spirit of God. Begin to confess that, and you will be. You'll have what you say. Begin to say it. Claim it, everyone. I am led by the Spirit of God. Jesus loves me, and I am led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Yes. Now, sometimes it's a little more spectacular. My dear, there was an angel standing right here beside you. Yeah. Yes. He said, say to her, I will turn it around very quickly. Very quickly. And it won't be the struggle that it used to be. In fact, it's going to seem like you just stumbled into it. And the problem will all be solved. That's what the angel of the Lord was standing here said to say to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shoo. Glory, 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 glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yeah. Healed, 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 healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, lift your hands and just worship him. Lord, we thank you that we are led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Now you've said there's so much I see to do that I'd love to do to help more than I do, but it's the money, it's the finances. It just seems I'm limited by how far I can go and how far out I can reach. by the lack of funds. But the Lord says, sponsors, sponsors, sponsors. God's going to send you some sponsors. Share your vision. Share what you want to do in the community. And the Lord says, I'll provide sponsors with deep pockets, he said. And you'll be able to do the things you've been dreaming about doing very shortly. Very shortly. Through this year and into next year, especially 2026, you'll see it burst wide open for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of you watching online, you said, I want to be led by the Spirit. Well, he was leading you this morning when he told you to get up and come to church, but you weren't listening right. Hallelujah. And you stayed home. Start being led. If you're going to be led, then be led. When he leads you, obey. Don't just follow the stuff you like or what's convenient. Now, I understand some people can't. Physically, they can't. But you know, I just talked Thursday night with a dear friend of mine, a lady pastor from Vancouver, Canada. Been friends with her for 40 years. And boy, nobody used to go as much as she did. I mean, all over the world, preaching and ministering, all over, crazy places. She was telling me she'd been up in the Arctic, where she's trying to get from this little dormitory over to the church building, and it was 80 degrees below zero. And she said she started to open the door to go out. She's all bundled up, started to open the door to go out to walk over about 100 yards to the church building. And she saw something white moving out there. And she closed the door back, and a great big old polar bear walked across out in front of the church. So she called over the church. She said, somebody's going to have to come get me if I'm going to walk over there, because I'm not big enough to fight that polar bear. And somebody came out with a gun, fired it off, and you know, scared the polar bear off so she could get over to church. And I said, I'm not worried about the polar bear. It's at 80 degrees below zero. I said, no, better you than me. No, if I went to hell, they'd have to change the format and make it cold. They would. People said, no, hell's hot. I said, have you ever heard of freezer burn? I said, that's right. They'd change the format for me. But I'm not going. I'm going to nice 67, 68 degree heaven. Hallelujah. But a couple of years ago, she had a terrible accident, broke several bones in her legs and her hips and stuff. And I mean, she's put together with screws and baling wire. I mean, all kinds of surgery. She's in the hospital for nearly a year in the hospital. Well, then they let her out when she's in a wheelchair, and now she uses a little walker like that when they're to get around some. And she's in her mid-70s, but she wants to go. She wants to go. And people that today, that's sermon number two I've started here. And I went to a minister's conference recently, and they had a workshop. And I went to the workshop, and they were telling them in there, now this is how you can preach online. And you don't even have to leave your couch. You can preach online, and you set all this stuff up. And they were showing them how to do it and everything. And everybody in the room was able-bodied. I said, well, that's fine if you're not able-bodied. But Jesus said, go. you know, some of them sitting there, well, and you know, what's your ministry, brother? I'm an apostle. And you're going to sit on your couch and be an apostle? The word apostle itself means one that goes, one that's sent. You're not an apostle if you're not moving. You know, you want to be led by the Spirit. You can't steer a car that's not moving. You want God to guide you? Get to moving. Then he can guide you. Are you listening? And so they won't sit on the couch, and they put on a coat like this, but got on Bermuda shorts down here because that camera's only right there. And, you know, before they go online, they're sitting there eating Hostess Twinkies and drinking buttermilk and getting fat as a house, you know, and then want to sit there and I'm ministering to the world. No, you're not. You're teaching a little bit. But my friend, well, she got disabled. So she went online and teaching. Well, she's teaching. She's got one Bible study she does every week on the Isle of Man, off of Great Britain, a church in the Isle of Man. She gets up early in the morning on the west coast of Canada over there, and for the Bible study time over on the Isle of Man, and teaches their Wednesday night Bible study on the Isle of Man every week. Does that, and then does several other things, programs online. But she's getting stronger every day. She says, as soon as I'm strong enough, I'm going to go again. And right now she can't go, so she does it online. But she goes to her little local church. She retired from pastoring because she was traveling so much years and years ago. But she goes to this local church and supports that pastor. And so she can't get up and do everything like they're doing. But she said, I come in and they put me a chair by the front door. Cherry, they give her a chair by the front door. And she sits there and greets the people coming in the door. And she's ministered to millions of people around the world. But she's sitting there greeting people as they come in the door because she's got to do something. Because God said, go. That's the gospel. The first two letters of the word gospel spell. Go. But you got to be led. Led. And you can't be guided if you're not moving. If your boat's tied to the dock, you can't guide it. Hallelujah. You can sit in your car and turn that wheel all day long. Right and left, right and left. But if you don't put it in drive. Hallelujah.